All right. All right. Let your light shine. So I'm going to break from my usual tradition, which is to take a really long passage of Scripture and work through it, and a really short passage that we're going to have a look at today. So we're looking at Isaiah chapter 60, really familiar, famous bit of Scripture. And we know that this is a prophecy given to the people of Israel for what would happen when the Messiah would come and bring the kingdom of God to earth. But I also believe that we can, as the people of God, we can take this promise for ourselves, because Messiah has come. His name is Jesus, and so this is for us too. It says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen on you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. So that's where we're going today, Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 to 3. It's kind of one of those, you know, glory passages, the ones we love to hear, and it all sounds exciting, and it's the sort of thing that we want to be a part of. But I don't know about you, but I sometimes find myself reading that and getting excited and then kind of catching myself and thinking, oh, that'd be good to see. That'd be nice one day. Or if I'm feeling really good about myself, I might think, one day, world, I'm going to shine, and when I do, you better look out. I'm coming. But what I want to propose to you this morning, that this thing of shining to the world, is actually our calling right now. This is who Jesus has called us to be. So we don't always feel like we're shining or feel like we can shine, or even sometimes we don't, like I was just saying, it feels like this isn't the time to shine. It's something that happens when everything is right and Jesus comes back. But if God is saying, let your light shine, what are we waiting for? So, let's take a look at this first verse. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. You know, sometimes we feel like something in us has to change before we can shine, that we're not quite right enough, that we haven't matured enough, that we don't know enough, or that it's for special anointed Christians. You know, we see the big speakers up on the big stages and think, oh, they're shining. I'd love to be like them. Or I'll shine more when I deal with that sin, or when I read the Bible more, when I get myself organized. I'll shine when I'm not so tired. You know, and it's a subtle kind of thing, because all those things are good things to do and good things to deal with. You know, it's good to want to read our Bible more and to deal with the sin in our lives. But I think what happens is that we very easily fall into the issue that the Galatians had. You know, we feel that conviction from the Spirit about something, and then what we begin in the Spirit very quickly turns into something of the flesh, where we start to try and work it out ourselves and do the right thing so that we can shine. But it doesn't work like that. So I want you to hold that thought at the moment of self-effort, and we're going to come back to that. But I'm going to spend the next few minutes having a look at three important words in this verse: light, shine, and glory. It says, arise, shine, for your light has come. So we're going to have a look at light. What does that mean? So light in the Bible is one of the big themes. You see it throughout Scripture, and it applies to all sorts of things. Light is connected with salvation. In 1 Peter, he says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Light refers to life, to true life, to the life of Jesus. He says in John 8, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Light can refer to resurrection life and all that is good. In Ephesians, it says, for what, at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And then a few verses down, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Light also refers to true knowledge, a little bit like Helen was referring to about wanting revelation from the Word. We all know that verse in Psalm 119 where he says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So light shows us the way to go. I think one of the most powerful pictures of light is what we see at the very beginning. In Genesis chapter 1, he says, God, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. So light here is the power of God to bring order to chaos. In the beginning, God created this. It was formless and void. There's this sense of chaos and disorder to the world before God steps in. And the first thing he does is bring light. So if you're ever feeling like your life, your or even your mind is a little chaotic, I know my mind feels chaotic sometimes, light, God's light is the power that brings order to chaos. Like Neil was saying, his fog is lifting. Sometimes we feel our minds is foggy, but it's God's life and God's power that brings light to that and brings order to the chaos in our minds. Now notice that it says here, your light has come. It's past tense. It's already done. So when Jesus says, your light has come, it doesn't actually matter how you're feeling. It doesn't matter how well you're doing, how mature you think you are, how well you're doing right now. You've had a good week or a bad week, a good day or a bad day. You are in the light because you have been called out of darkness into his light. You carry the light because you have Jesus in you by the Holy Spirit. And that means that you carry within you all those things we just talked about. You carry the fruit of the light, the goodness of God. You carry the way, the truth, the life, the power of that brings order to chaos inside you. Did you know you had that in you? So it doesn't matter if you don't feel like you have it in you. You have it in you. So now let's step back to the very first couple of words of the verse. It says, arise and shine. Now, really beautiful picture of what it looks like to shine is given to us in the Gospels. In Matthew chapter 17, it's the story of Jesus' transfiguration. And I'll just read a couple of verses from it. It says, "And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John his brother and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light." And a couple of verses down, he was still speaking, when behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Now, when it says Jesus is transfigured and he shone like the sun, the English doesn't really capture what they were seeing. It was like his clothes were bright and shining with lightning flashing all over it. It was Jesus being revealed as God, as a Son of God. He was a shining one. You know, the phrase "shining one" is a phrase that's used to refer to. Remember, we talked a few weeks ago about the little gods, about the sons of God, the divine council. This is God saying, "This is the one. This is the divine being, my son, the king who has come." This is Jesus being revealed. It's what was actually, he was fully man, but inside him was also, he was fully God. And so in the transfiguration, it means that the word transfiguration is the revealing of outwardly of what's inside. So that's what it is to shine. It's to what's inside you be revealed out. Now, what does that have to do with us? Well, if you go to Romans 12 in the first two verses, again, verses we know very well, he says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Now, did you know that word where it says "be transformed," it's actually the same word as transfigured? So you could read it, "be transfigured by the renewing of your mind." So the thing that holds us back is not so much how we're doing or how we're feeling, but it's our mind not believing who God says we are. So to be transfigured is to allow our mind to be renewed, to believe what God says about us, and let that shine out. You know, so to come back to where we started with how we turned it into self-effort, I think what happens is that those things like that we need to do better, like reading the Bible, spending more time praying, dealing with our sin, all those sort of spiritual disciplines are good, but they're not there to make us better. The spiritual disciplines are there to connect us with God, and align our thinking to what he says about us. So when we feel the prompting of God to do stuff like that we need to deal with this thing or spend more time with him, that's not going to make us better. That's going to connect us with God so that what he's already put inside of us has a chance to get out. That's what it is to shine. And the very end of that verse says, "And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." This is the kabod, the heavy, weighty presence of God. That's what that word glory means. It's the overwhelming presence of God. And it's language that reminds us of the big encounters with God through the Bible, like Moses and the burning bush. Like the presence of the Lord as a devouring fire on top of Mount Sinai. Like Ezekiel falling on his face in the presence of God. Or like Paul being blinded on the road to Damascus. That's the glory of God, that heavy, weighty, powerful presence. It also reminds me of the temple. We've talked a bit about the temple over the last couple of months. In 1 Kings 8, at the inauguration of Solomon's temple, it says, the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. So when God says the glory of the Lord has risen upon you, it's talking about his presence with us, the real, tangible, weighty presence of God, both in direct encounter, Moses and the others. We have that ability to encounter God, to speak to him, to hear him speak to us. Is that real to us? Like he's there in a burning bush right in front of us, except he's inside us. It's even closer. And also, we are now his temple. We're that place where his glory comes to rest. It's no wonder we can't stand up sometimes in the presence of God. And that's why we can shine. Because it's not about us anymore. It's just that he's chosen us as a people to carry his presence and represent him on the earth. We're there to shine out what salvation looks like, to shine out the goodness of God, to shine out the life of Jesus and the resurrection life and power of Jesus. You know, I think when we really see that, when we see that it's not about what we're doing or feeling or our ability or even our anointing, or what we think our anointing is, we feel the enormity of what it really is to be a Christian. And then our hesitations about shining just don't have any power because they're not relevant anymore. You can't work your way into this kind of shining by reading your Bible more or working harder at your faith. We need to do those things. But we really need our mind to be renewed to see the fullness of what God has done for us and in us. And as we see that, then we get transfigured. And the inner light of the life of Jesus will shine out. You know, and sometimes we look for big ways that this happens, but it happens in small ways too. You know, this week I was trying to figure out what I was going to speak to you this morning, and I found myself in that place that I've just been describing of trying to work into it and thinking, God, what should I be doing? I quoted that book from Brian Blount a couple of weeks ago that I've been reading. He's always going out and doing power evangelism and all sorts of exciting stuff. And I think, God, should I be doing something like that? Should I be praying for someone and seeing them healed? You know, I'm preaching on Sunday, Lord. It'd be really good to have a testimony. And I just couldn't see anything. There was nothing happening. And then I read that verse in Isaiah, and that kind of just came on me like a weight, in the good way of a weight. And I realized, no, actually, it's the light is already there in me. I don't have to work up to it. And then what happened the next day at work, this was it did turn into a little testimony, but it wasn't what I was expecting. So I'm pretty organized. I try and be pretty organized with my work. I've got a fairly structured system of to-do lists and what I've, my long-term and my short-term things that I'm working on. Anyway, Friday, I got this email from a customer to say, hey, Simon, just wondering if you've got a plan to fix this. Sort of an issue on our website, a big data problem that we've been talking about for years and thinking we need to do something about, but it always feels a bit too hard. Anyway, so this customer just out of the blue emailed me about it, and I don't know quite how it happened still, but it just kind of came over me. I thought, oh, I wonder if I could do that and then have a look at that. And by the end of the day, I'd solved the whole thing. And it wasn't that I didn't have to do any work on it. I did have to work, but it just kind of flowed. And that's how the kingdom of God works. We recognize that we are already right with God. There is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. That's a powerful scripture. And then the life of God can just flow. But it's sometimes in the little things too. The little things are good. All right. So let's move on. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen on you. So sometimes I think we are waiting for our circumstances to change before we shine. You know, we think if this was a bit easier, I could shine. Or quite often with people, I think this is the case. You know, when she's sorry for what she's done, then I can be kind. Or when he changes his attitude, then I'm going to forgive him or show him some respect. But I think God calls us to more than that. You know, and it's in the darkness that we can shine the brightest. God says that darkness will cover the earth, but his people will shine. Are you ready for that? But God, it's not fair. Well, it wasn't fair when they crucified my son, and he never stopped loving. If we're called to be like Jesus, then we're called to let his life shine out of us, even when circumstances are hard or unfair. James says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds." If I'm honest, I don't really like that verse. Except that it does, if you can receive it, it does give opportunity, I guess, that yes, there can be joy in the struggle. But go down a few verses. I think this is beautiful how this comes together. So that's the very start of that chapter in James. Then he talks about, you know, how that all works. And then he says, "Every good gift and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights," there's that light again, "with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." So let us be a people in whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. So no matter what the circumstances or how people are treating us, let us shine. Shine out the life of Jesus in every situation. But it's not just for us. Our light, which is the light of Jesus, is for the world. "And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." Because I think sometimes we're also waiting for the world to change before we can see the shining. Either reminiscing about the good old days, the light was brighter then, or giving up on now while we wait for the future. This world's too far gone. I just need to hang on until I die or Jesus comes back. But you know, we talked last time I spoke about taking the gospel of the kingdom out to the nations and displacing the kingdom of darkness with the rule and reign of God. We talked about being temples, about carrying the presence of God with us, with the Holy Spirit hovering over and filling us. And that's what being temples looks like. It looks like a people separated from the darkness, called to be different. It's like, as Neil said, we're all a bit quirky. But we're different in another way too. We're different. We have the life of Jesus in us. and we shine out to the nations, displaying what God is like, what his character is, and what it looks like when God's in charge. So no matter how dark the world gets, the life of Jesus shining in us can look like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It looks like the poor, the widows, the marginalized, the weak being taken care of. And God says, if you read the rest of this chapter in Isaiah, that when his people are shining out light, reflecting the glory of God, that the world will be changed. We are his game plan. The world needs us to shine. Nothing changes unless we shine out the life of God. Romans 8 says that creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. Do you see that revealing word there? It's revealing who we really are, the transfigured people of God. So we're not waiting for the world to change. We are the world changers. And we know that things won't be fully set right until Jesus comes back. But now our job is to shine, to give the world a taste of heaven, a taste of the kingdom to come, a taste of who God really is. The world is a different place when we shine. And that means that you are changing the world just by being you. Paul said it like this in Philippians. He said, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." So, just to recap, believe that you already have the light of God and his glory rests on you. You can shine right now. You don't need anything more. Shine in every circumstance. Don't wait for things to get better. If things are hard, shine anyway. And don't wait for the world to change. Be the change by letting the life of Jesus shine out of you. This world, our world, God's world, needs you. So I just want to encourage us to wake up every morning with a new prayer on our lips. Instead of asking God for things all the time, I'm guilty of that too. Let's pray, "Thank you, God, that I am a new creation. Thank you, God, that I am shining out you more every day. Thank you, God, that I am a shining light in this world because Jesus lives in me." I'd encourage you to do that. Pray that out loud. It's hard praying those things out loud because you realize that a part of you doesn't always believe it. But there is power in speaking. So as we speak and say, "Thank you, God, that I am a new creation," eventually your mind and your heart will catch up and you'll start shining. So I want to finish with another scripture, this time from Ephesians, and then Mark John's going to lead us in communion. "Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Simon. So, we come to communion, and we do this every Sunday at Marion Vineyard because we believe there's something really pivotal in this symbolic meal, and that's something pivotal for each day and each moment of walking with Jesus. So, in the light of what Simon has been sharing with us today, let's just prepare our hearts now to spend some time focusing on what Jesus has done for us. Okay, and let's just see what the Holy Spirit has in mind for us this morning. So let's just bow our heads, and I'll just invite the Holy Spirit to come. Come, Holy Spirit. Manifest your presence with us in tangible ways this morning. Holy Spirit, I want to thank you for what Jesus has done for us. That in this pivotal moment in history when his blood was shed and his body broken, something changed permanently for the human race, for us. Something changed. This promise of your glory was made manifest in human flesh. Where before sin reigned in humankind, Jesus came fully God and fully man and released glory back into mankind, into human beings. Restored us to the way that we were intended from the beginning, to house the glory of God. Lord Jesus, reveal in our hearts again the revelation of your glory in us, because that moment occurred. Death was defeated, sin was dealt with, man and woman restored to creation's perfect intention to walk and dwell with Jesus. No sin between, no brokenness, just shining in reflection of everything Jesus has done. That's what happened at that moment. And Jesus, today we ask that you would manifest it in increasing glory for us today. Simon's reminded us we don't get it sometimes because we think in worldly ways. Lord Jesus, renew our mind this morning. Give us a correction in just the thoughts that we give place in our minds that tell us that we are earthly and worthless, or yeah, we're sinners and we'll get to heaven one day. But Jesus, you came and brought heaven here, brought heaven to earth. You brought it in your body, the glory, and then you released it to us. Because Holy Spirit, we are your temple. You've released us back into our pure destiny to be the holders, the bearers of the glory of God in us. So we release it this morning. In this time, when we receive the blood and the body of Christ again, it's not to somehow deal with some stuff. It's actually to release us from earthly ways of thinking, of the struggle that maybe we end up sort of compromising and thinking, oh, well, it's too hard. But actually, Jesus, you're telling us, you're releasing to us now how you see us from the heavenly perspective. That's what we need to see. We need to see ourselves and each other through your lens, Lord Jesus, the lens of glory. And it's not foggy and it's not clouded. It's pure. So Lord Jesus, thank you for your presence. And as we eat these little morsels to remind us, we thank you, Jesus, that it shows us that we do bear Jesus, we bear glory in us. And it's ready to shine, it's ready to be released. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We bless you. Amen. So at the table, let's take this in our groups. We have three tables, and we're just gonna take it casual, and we're gonna take it personally, and we'll take it as a group. But remember, this is a revelation, this is a statement of how Jesus sees you and has released you to be who you're meant to be. A bearer of the image of God, in the image of God as we were created. So let's do that today, together now, and then we'll come back.